Welcome to Living Word Bible Church Audio Sermons. Living Word Bible Church is an independent Bible-believing fellowship located in Liverpool, United Kingdom. Our mission is to preach and teach Christ and Him crucified, and to glory in Him alone. Please visit us at www.lwbc.co.uk for more information, Bible studies, audio sermons and a host of other Bible-based resources. We pray that the following audio sermon will both bless and encourage you.
It's elementary. This term means straightforward or uncomplicated reason. And this applies to every part of our Christian faith. Faith is straightforward and uncomplicated. The gospel is straightforward and uncomplicated. It is so simple in the Word of God, you wonder why then people get confused over the details found in Scripture. And when we come to living the Christian life, we have to wonder why people complicate their Christian lives to make it surreal, unreal, when it could be easy. When I use the term easy, I'm not talking about a lukewarm spirit. I'm not saying that there's no troubles or difficulties in the Christian life. There are for sure many, many difficulties, persecution, trials and tribulations. I don't use the word easy like that. But the Word of God is not complicated. The only places in God's Word that are complicated are those which we complicate. Those we choose not to see at face value, but argue the point for the opposite or for some other angle or loophole. Theologians do this all of the time. If there's a verse of scripture that doesn't fit their theology or their denominational point of view, they will twist and turn and warp, add and take away. They'll do everything possible to give a different view to that verse of scripture than that which it patently expresses. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's various places in those two verses where we could enter the word elementary, and it is elementary. It's reasonable. It's acceptable. It's what we've been called to do, is to live for God so that we prove that what God says and does, what God has declared and revealed in His Word, is acceptable and perfect. So why do we complicate it? Here in this passage of Scripture, it's telling us many things, but look at the basic understanding. It's telling us if that we dedicate our lives to Jesus Christ as a living sacrifice, living holy, living acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, or as some translations of the Bible suggest, it is our reasonable worship. Everything in our lives is an act of worship. If we do that, then we will know what the will of God is. If we are transformed by the Word of God rather than being conformed by the word of man or the world, then we will know the will of God. We'll have that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It will be in the depths of our souls. So it's a definitive direction to knowing God's will. The moment we step outside that, we cease to know God's will for our lives. So the key is sacrifice and not conformity. By being sacrificed, we are being transformed. By compromise, we are conforming to the world. It's a paradox. Here is the paradox. You have to die to live. People want to live to live. They want to have the joys of the world to live. But the Bible tells us we have to die. We have to die to ourselves to live. That's the paradox. But it's still absolutely true. In fact, if we look deeper into this, we find it's the world that is dying, and those who go along with the world are dying with the world. So the people who are living in death are the people in the world while trying to live some kind of life. They want the best of life, but actually what they're getting is the best, if I can say it like that, the best of death, the worst of death. We are dying to this world. We are to die to this world if we are to live for Christ. There can be no middle ground. It cannot be both. It has to be one or the other. We are either transformed because we die. If we die to Christ and in Christ, we are transformed. And our minds are renewed. And everything about us is everlasting life. But if we live for the world, then that which we have in Christ decreases and eventually fades away. That's what the scripture is teaching us here. And that is the emphasis throughout the entirety of the New Testament. In fact, I would suggest to you the entirety of the Bible. But let's for a moment look at Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Do you see the point? We present our bodies as living sacrifices, and then we're transformed. So Paul says here in Galatians 2:20, which is exactly the same what he's saying in Romans 12, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, there's the paradox. Nevertheless, I live. I die, but I live. I'm dead on the cross with Christ, but actually I'm alive. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So the world is trying to live a life. In actuality, they are dying. We're dying, but in actuality, we're living. The paradox, be it so or not, sacrificial living for Christ is our reasonable service. The word reasonable comes from the Greek word logikos, where we derive the word logical. So reasonable, it's elementary, it's logical. That's what Sherlock Holmes used to say to Watson when the question, how did you find that out? How do you know that's true? And Sherlock Holmes would say, it's elementary. It's reasonable. It's logical. It's understandable. All we need to do is open our eyes to see it. The word service in the Greek is latrein, from where we get the word priest. Service can mean worship, spiritual worship, but it's done by someone who is in the priesthood. We see that in the Old Testament when they went through their rituals. Every part of that was an act of worship, God-ordained worship. bring that over them into the New Testament, it's no longer by works or ritual or ceremony, but it's by faith. It's spiritual, because we are all kingdom of priests. We are a kingdom of priests. And in 1 Peter 2, verse 5, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. There we have it again. Acceptable to God, there we have it again, by Jesus Christ. It's exactly what the Apostle Paul taught. And Peter is saying exactly the same thing. We give ourselves as a living sacrifice to God, and then we know what is our reasonable service, what is acceptable to God. Acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And it can only be through Jesus Christ. That's the logic of it all. It's logical that we render such lifelong service to Jesus, to the great Redeemer who laid down his life for us, who died on Calvary's cross to take away all of our sins, to give us through his blood everlasting life, and to be assured, guaranteed, a place with him in heaven forever, to be in that place of glory. Isn't it logical then that we should live a life dedicated unto God? Isn't it logical then, elementary, that we dedicate our lives as a living sacrifice? See what it says there? A living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice, but it's a continuous sacrifice. That's what it means there, a continuous sacrifice. Daily, moment by moment, living for the Lord, not giving up on him at different times, not being a Sunday only Christian, but a life that is dedicated to God, and then we will know what the will of God is for our lives. Otherwise, we can never know what the will of God is for our lives. We'll just drift along and possibly even drift away. It's also logical that we should not conform to this world. What is there in this world which is full of death? If we've got true life, and the life that they're living is actually death, then isn't it logical that we steer clear from the very appearance of evil and live for the Lord solely? Why do Christians conform to this world? Because they want the world and they want sin. The standards of this present age are evil. The standards of this present world are evil through and through. There's no godliness. All have fallen short of the glory of God. No one is living right. Mouths and hearts are an open sepulchre. They just spew out evil, and everything that comes out of the mind is evil continuously. And that's as it was in the days of Noah. Only evil, wickedness continuously. See, the world lives in continuous wickedness. We are to live in a continuous sacrifice, being transformed rather than being conformed. If we're conformed to the world, then we will have a continuous wicked spirit in us. Why should we imitate this world's materialism? The world says this is the way you've got to go, and everybody jumps and does exactly the same thing. Remember a few years back, the world dictated to us, usually through celebrities, everything's got to be grey. And now everything in our homes is grey. People paint the windows grey. I see that around where we live. People have painted the window, painted the frames and doors grey, furnishings grey. As someone said to me, who is in the window industry, he said, in a few years' time, that will change and everybody will go to a different colour. Why is it that we are conformed to the standards of the materialism of this world? We should not have a humanistic worldview. By that I mean, we should know without doubt that the Word of God is absolute truth. In Hebrews 11 it says that faith is the substance of things. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If we truly believe that, we wouldn't need to, Christians wouldn't need to adopt an evolution point of view, theistic evolution. They shouldn't need to do that. And why do we need to get proofs or proofs that the Bible is true? I had a discussion with someone on the internet who said about archaeology proving the Bible is true. If archaeology kept on saying that the Bible is not true and there was no proofs for the Bible, I would still believe the Bible is true. God's word is true. Man is error. He, as I said, his heart and his mouth is an open sepulchre, and it will spew out everything that is evil and anti-God and anti-Christ. We don't need to look at this world we live in with a humanistic worldview. We live by faith. The just shall live by faith. A very prominent verse in the Old Testament and in the New. Then, why should our dress code conform to this world? Our dress code should not conform to the standards of this world. We see some sights amongst Christians that beggar belief with the dress code. We should not do that. I'm not going to go deeply into that. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. Then why should we fill our ears and minds with the music of this world? I am constantly amazed with Christians who keep talking about this song and that song by some popular artist in the music industry. I could not care less about the celebrities in music or film or anybody else. Whatever they say, I could really not care less about what they say, their opinions, what they think about politics, religion, or anything else. Who are they? They just join a few words together and strum a few chords and become top of the charts. Or they act a few lines and everybody loves them. Really, should we be conforming to the world with music? Should we be filling our minds with that which is putrid? Is there any good thing sung about today that hasn't been for generations, if there ever has been? It's usually been nonsense. It's usually been crude and anti-God. Why should we fill our minds with the jingles of this world that lead people astray? We've got better than that. We've got the harmony and the music of the Lord, of the Lord. Our standards of morality are higher than the world's. We've got a higher standard. We've got the standard of scripture of holiness. That's what the scripture said there. We are holy priesthood. In Romans chapter 12, that we should present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Holy. Far above the standards of this present world. We're far below the standard of God, of God's holiness, but we should be nearer God's holiness than the evil that we find in this world. Our standards are heavenly and eternal, not of the dust and ashes of this world. Our guide for everything in this world is the Bible, Scripture. We must conform to Scripture, and we will be transformed by Scripture. If you conform to this world, you're going to be transformed by this world. We conform to Scripture, and the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God, implants it in our hearts, and guides us into all truth. So everything we believe must square up with the Word of God. So we cast out pet doctrines, denominational doctrines that do not conform to the Word of God. We cast away that which commentators often do with twisting and turning and changing God's Word to fit their own opinions. We must not do that. We must check the Word of God, be good Bereans, check the Word of God, make sure that what we're reading in the book or listening to on a video or a tape conforms to the Word of God. And yes, even our own, the doctrines that we hold dear to our hearts, we must always know that those things are absolutely in the Word of God with no variation, twisting of the Word of God. So applying all of that in our daily lives actually renews our minds. It keeps us from the filth of this world. We hide God's Word in our hearts so that we do not sin against Him. And when our minds are renewed, our minds will be in and with Christ. Our minds will be in and with Christ. That's the best place for them to be. That whatever we think must be holy, pure, righteous, honourable, and so on. But sadly in this world, the world has a blinded mind. Blinded by the darkness of this world. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. They don't want to believe. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So they use the darkness of this world to stop them believing what is very evident in God's word. Basically what is being taught by Paul is when it says it blinds the minds of them which believe not, they willfully refuse to believe. That's what is being said there. Which believe not. It's not they can't believe, but they don't want to believe. So our minds must be guided by God's word. Guided by God in everything. Allowing the Holy Spirit to teach us and to guide us and to lead us each step of the way. We should get to know God's word more and more, not leave it to be catching dust on a shelf or a coffee table. We should read it. And let's face it, we've got so much access to the Word of God today, not only in book form, but also on our phones, our tablets, our computers. It's there everywhere, so easy. Years ago, if people didn't know where a verse of Scripture was, they have to go and find a concordance. But now we can just open up a device, put the few words in, and we get to the verse and verses that are saying almost the same thing. We've got so much in our hands today, and yet the knowledge of God is decreasing. The knowledge of the Word of God, how many Christians we know about who've been Christians for many years, who simply do not know the Word of God and fall for every false doctrine that comes along, every quip of someone on Facebook. They fall for it hook, line and sinker every time when they should know the Word of God for themselves, but they do not read it, study it or meditate upon it. It's sad, but that's because they conform to this world. They've got their minds full of nonsense instead of having their minds full of the Word of God. In Romans 11:34, for who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counsellor? It's elementary. This term mean straightforward or uncomplicated reason. And this applies to every part of our Christian faith. Faith is straightforward and uncomplicated. The gospel is straightforward and uncomplicated. It is so simple in the Word of God, you wonder why then people get confused over the details found in Scripture. And when we come to living the Christian life, we have to wonder why people complicate their Christian lives to make it surreal, unreal, when it could be easy. When I use the term easy, I'm not talking about a lukewarm spirit. I'm not saying that there's no troubles or difficulties in the Christian life. There are for sure many, many difficulties, persecution, trials and tribulations. I don't use the word easy like that. But the Word of God is not complicated. The only places in God's Word that are complicated are those which we complicate. Those we choose not to see at face value, but argue the point for the opposite or for some other angle or loophole. Theologians do this all of the time. If there's a verse of scripture that doesn't fit their theology or their denominational point of view, they will twist and turn and warp, add and take away. They'll do everything possible to give a different view to that verse of scripture than that which it patently expresses. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's various places in those two verses where we could enter the word elementary, and it is elementary. It's reasonable. It's acceptable. It's what we've been called to do, is to live for God so that we prove that what God says and does, what God has declared and revealed in his word, is acceptable and perfect. So why do we complicate it? Here in this passage of scripture, it's telling us many things, but look at the basic understanding. It's telling us that we dedicate our lives to Jesus Christ as a living sacrifice, living holy, living acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, or as some translations of the Bible suggest, it is our reasonable worship. Everything in our lives is an act of worship. If we do that, then we will know what the will of God is. If we are transformed by the Word of God rather than being conformed by the Word of man or the world, then we will know the will of God. We'll have that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It will be in the depths of our souls. So it's a definitive direction to knowing God's will. The moment we step outside of that, we cease to know God's will for our lives. So the key is sacrifice and not conformity. By being sacrificed, we are being transformed. By compromise, we are conforming to the world. It's a paradox. Here is the paradox. You have to die to live. People want to live, They want to have the joys of the world to live. But the Bible tells us we have to die. We have to die to ourselves to live. That's the paradox, but it's still absolutely true. In fact, if we look deeper into this, we find it's the world that is dying, and those who go along with the world are dying with the world. So the people who are living in death are the people in the world while trying to live some kind of life. They want the best of life, but actually what they're getting is the best, if I can say it like that, the best of death, the worst of death. We are dying to this world. We are to die to this world if we are to live for Christ. There can be no middle ground. It cannot be both. It has to be one or the other. We are either transformed because we die. If we die to Christ and in Christ, we are transformed. And our minds are renewed. And everything about us is everlasting life. But if we live for the world, then that which we have in Christ decreases and eventually fades away. That's what the scripture is teaching us here. And that is the emphasis throughout the entirety of the New Testament. In fact, I would suggest to you the entirety of the Bible. But let's for a moment look at Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. You see the point? We present our bodies as living sacrifices, and then we're transformed. So Paul says here in Galatians 2:20, which is exactly the same what he's saying in Romans 12, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, there's the paradox. Nevertheless, I live. I die, but I live. I'm dead on the cross with Christ, but actually I'm alive. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So the world is trying to live a life. But in actuality, they are dying. We're dying, but in actuality, we're living. The paradox, be it so or not, sacrificial living for Christ is our reasonable service. The word reasonable comes from the Greek word logikos, where we derive the word logical. So reasonable, it's elementary, it's logical. That's what Sherlock Holmes used to say to Watson when the question, how did you find that out? How do you know that's true? And Sherlock Holmes would say, it's elementary. It's reasonable. It's logical. It's understandable. All we need to do is open our eyes to see it. The word service in the Greek is latrein, from where we get the word priest. Service can mean worship, spiritual worship, but it's done by someone who is in the priesthood. We see that in the Old Testament when they went through their rituals. Every part of that was an act of worship, God-ordained worship. Bring that over into the New Testament. It's no longer by works or ritual or ceremony, but it's by faith. It's spiritual, because we are all kingdom of priests. We are a kingdom of priests. And in 1 Peter 2, verse 5, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. There we have it again. Acceptable to God. There we have it again. By Jesus Christ. It's exactly what the Apostle Paul taught. And Peter is saying exactly the same thing. We give ourselves as a living sacrifice to God, and then we know what is our reasonable service, what is acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And it can only be through Jesus Christ. That's the logic of it all. It's logical that we render such lifelong service to Jesus, to the great Redeemer who laid down his life for us, who died on Calvary's cross to take away all of our sins, to give us through his blood everlasting life, and to be assured, guaranteed, a place with him in heaven forever, to be in that place of glory. Isn't it logical then that we should live a life dedicated unto God? Isn't it logical then, elementary, that we dedicate our lives as a living sacrifice? See what it says there? A living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice, but it's a continuous sacrifice. That's what it means there, a continuous sacrifice. Daily, moment by moment, living for the Lord, not giving up on him at different times, not being a Sunday only Christian, but a life that is dedicated to God, and then we will know what the will of God is for our lives. Otherwise, we can never know what the will of God is for our lives. We'll just drift along and possibly even drift away. It's also logical that we should not conform to this world. What is there in this world which is full of death? If we've got true life, and the life that they're living is actually death, then isn't it logical that we steer clear from the very appearance of evil and live for the Lord solely? Why do Christians conform to this world? Because they want the world and they want sin. The standards of this present age are evil. The standards of this present world are evil through and through. There's no godliness. All have fallen short of the glory of God. No one is living right. Mouths and hearts are an open sepulchre. They just spew out evil, and everything that comes out of the mind is evil continuously. And that's as it was in the days of Noah. Only evil, wickedness continuously. See, the world lives in continuous wickedness. We are to live in a continuous sacrifice, being transformed rather than being conformed. If we're conformed to the world, then we will have a continuous wicked spirit in us. Why should we imitate this world's materialism? The world says this is the way you've got to go, and everybody jumps and does exactly the same thing. Remember a few years back, the world dictated to us, usually through celebrities, everything's got to be grey. And now everything in our homes is grey. People paint the windows grey. I see that around where we live. People have painted the window, painted the frames and doors grey, furnishings grey. As someone said to me, who is in the window industry, he said, in a few years' time, that will change and everybody will go to a different colour. Why is it that we are conformed to the standards of the materialism of this world? We should not have a humanistic worldview. By that I mean, we should know without doubt that the Word of God is absolute truth. In Hebrews 11 it says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If we truly believe that, Christians wouldn't need to adopt an evolution point of view, theistic evolution. They shouldn't need to do that. And why do we need to get proofs or proofs that the Bible is true? I had a discussion with someone on the internet who said about archaeology proving the Bible is true. If archaeology kept on saying that the Bible is not true and there was no proofs for the Bible, I would still believe the Bible is true. God's word is true. Man is error. He, as I said, his heart and his mouth is an open sepulchre, and it will spew out everything that is evil and anti-God and anti-Christ. We don't need to look at this world we live in with a humanistic worldview. We live by faith. The just shall live by faith. A very prominent verse in the Old Testament and in the New. Then, why should our dress code conform to this world? Our dress code should not conform to the standards of this world. We see some sights amongst Christians that beggar belief with the dress code. We should not do that. I'm not going to go deeply into that. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. Then why should we fill our ears and minds with the music of this world? I am constantly amazed with Christians who keep talking about this song and that song by some popular artist in the music industry. I could not care less about the celebrities in music or film or anybody else. Whatever they say, I could really not care less about what they say, their opinions, what they think about politics, religion, or anything else. Who are they? They just join a few words together and strum a few chords and become top of the charts. Or they act a few lines and everybody loves them. Really, should we be conforming to the world with music? Should we be filling our minds with that which is putrid? Is there any good thing sung about today that hasn't been for generations, if there ever has been? It's usually been nonsense. It's usually been crude and anti-God. Why should we fill our minds with the jingles of this world that lead people astray? We've got better than that. We've got the harmony and the music of the Lord, of the Lord. Our standards of morality are higher than the world's. We've got a higher standard. We've got the standard of Scripture of holiness. That's what the Scripture said there. We are holy priesthood in Romans chapter 12, that we should present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Holy. Far above the standards of this present world. We're far below the standard of God, of God's holiness, but we should be nearer God's holiness than the evil that we find in this world. Our standards are heavenly and eternal, not of the dust and ashes of this world. Our guide for everything in this world is the Bible, Scripture. We must conform to Scripture, and we will be transformed by Scripture. If you conform to this world, you're going to be transformed by this world. We conform to Scripture, and the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God, implants it in our hearts, and guides us into all truth. So everything we believe must square up with the Word of God. So we cast out pet doctrines, denominational doctrines that do not conform to the Word of God. We cast away that which commentators often do with twisting and turning and changing God's Word to fit their own opinions. We must not do that. We must check the Word of God, be good Bereans, check the Word of God, make sure that what we're reading in a book or listening to on a video or a tape conforms to the Word of God. And yes, even our own the doctrines that we hold dear to our hearts, we must always know that those things are absolutely in the Word of God, with no variation, twisting of the Word of God. So applying all of that in our daily lives actually renews our minds. It keeps us from the filth of this world. We hide God's Word in our hearts so that we do not sin against Him. And when our minds are renewed, our minds will be in and with Christ. Our minds will be in and with Christ. That's the best place for them to be. That whatever we think must be holy, pure, righteous, honourable, and so on. But sadly in this world, the world has a blinded mind. Blinded by the darkness of this world. In 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. They don't want to believe. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So they use the darkness of this world to stop them believing what is very evident in God's word. Basically what is being taught by Paul is when it says it blinds the minds of them which believe not, they willfully refuse to believe. That's what is being said there. Which believe not. It's not they can't believe, but they don't want to believe. So our minds must be guided by God's word. Guided by God in everything. Allowing the Holy Spirit to teach us and to guide us and to lead us each step of the way. We should get to know God's word more and more, not leave it to be catching dust on a shelf or a coffee table. We should read it. And let's face it, we've got so much access to the word of God today, not only in book form, but also on our phones, our tablets, our computers. It's there everywhere, so easy. Years ago, if people didn't know where a verse of scripture was, they had to go and find a concordance. But now we can just open up a device, put the few words in, and we get to the verse and verses that are saying almost the same thing. We've got so much in our hands today, and yet the knowledge of God is decreasing. The knowledge of the Word of God, how many Christians we know about who've been Christians for many years, who simply do not know the Word of God and fall for every false doctrine that comes along, every quip of someone on Facebook. They fall for it hook, line and sinker every time when they should know the Word of God for themselves, but they do not read it, study it, or meditate upon it. It's sad, but that's because they conform to this world. They've got their minds full of nonsense instead of having their minds full of the Word of God. In Romans 11:34, for who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor?
Before the hymn begins, we would like to say thanks for listening to this audio sermon. For more audio sermons, Bible studies and other scriptural material, please visit www.lwbc.co.uk.
1, 2, 3, 4. Thank you. just like that.